This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Comedy Week on Favorite Story, and we have at hand one of the most charming drawing room farces of all time. It's Oscar Wilde's trivial comedy for serious people, The Importance of Being Earnest. As you know, during the last few years, Mr. Wilde has been more or less rediscovered by the theater-going public, and his plays have been packing them in on Broadway and in the playhouses of London. Mr. Wilde once said, "Nothing produces such an effect as a good platitude." And so his plays are filled with lines we remember and quote. His famous definition of a cynic, for example, as a man who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. And his very sage comment that in this world there are only two tragedies. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it. Our favorite story selector this week is the most famous woman theatrical director of our time, Miss Margaret Webster. We thought that this celebrated authority on Shakespeare would pick an Elizabethan tragedy as her favorite story. But she did nothing of the kind. She named The Importance of Being Earnest. Here's Act One of our radio dramatization.
Moment.
I can hear you in there, Elfman. Let me in.
Have the courtesy to let me finish this delicious phrase. There. Now come in. The door's not locked. Well, Ernest, what brings you up to town?
Oh, pleasure, pleasure. What else should bring one anywhere?
I say, did you hear what I was just playing?
No, I wasn't listening.
I'm sorry. For your sake. I don't play accurately. Anybody can play accurately, but I play with wonderful expression.
Hello. Why all these cups? In white cucumber sandwiches. Who's coming to tea?
Oh, merely Aunt Augusta and my cousin Gwendolyn.
How perfectly delightful.
Yes, but I'm afraid Aunt Augusta won't quite approve of your being here.
May I ask why?
My dear Ernest, the way you flirt with Gwendolyn is perfectly disgraceful. It's almost as bad as the way Gwendolyn flirts with you.
Well, I'm in love with Gwendolyn. I've come up to town expressly to propose to her.
I thought you came up for pleasure. I call that business.
How utterly unromantic you are.
I really don't see anything romantic in proposing. It's very romantic to be in love, but there's nothing romantic about a definite proposal. Why, one may be accepted. One usually is, I believe. Please, don't touch the cucumber sandwiches. They're ordered especially for Aunt Augusta.
Well, but you've been eating them all the time.
That's quite a different matter. She's my aunt.
Then let me eat Gwendolyn's portion. After all, we're practically married.
You are not practically married. I do not give my consent.
Oh, your consent.
My dear Ernest, Gwendolyn is my cousin. And before I allow you to marry her, you'll have to clear up the whole question of Cecily.
Cecily? What on earth do you mean, Algy? I don't know anybody by the name of Cecily.
Oh? Do you recognize this silver case?
Certainly. It's mine.
Not according to the inscription. This is a present from someone by the name of Cecily. And you said you didn't know anyone of that name.
Well, do you want to know? Cecily happens to be my aunt. Charming old lady she is, too.
But why does she call herself Little Cecily if she's your aunt? I quote, "From Little Cecily with fondest love."
My dear fellow, some aunts are tall, some aunts are not tall. That's a matter that surely an aunt must be allowed to decide for herself.
Admitted. But why does your aunt call you her uncle? That's what it says. From Little Cecily with her fondest love to her dear Uncle Jack.
Well,
there's no objection to an aunt being a small aunt. But why an aunt, no matter what her size may be, should call her own nephew her uncle, I can't quite make out.
Besides,
your name isn't Jack at all. It's Ernest.
It isn't Ernest. It's Jack.
You've always told me it was Ernest. I've introduced you to everyone in town as Ernest. You answer to the name of Ernest. You look as if your name was Ernest. You are the most earnest-looking person I ever saw in my life.
My name is Ernest in town and Jack in the country. It's all very simple, really. I'm a guardian of a young lady named Miss Cecily Cardew.
Oh.
Cecily, who addresses me as her uncle for motives of respect that you could not possibly appreciate, lives at my place in the country under the charge of her admirable governess, Miss Prism.
Where is that place in the country, by the way?
I have no intention of ever telling you.
No matter, but tell me, why are you Ernest in town and Jack in the country?
Well, you are hardly serious enough to understand. When one is placed in the position of guardian, one has to adopt a very high moral tone on all subjects.
Indeed.
So, in order to get into town and have an occasional good time, I've always pretended to have a younger brother named Ernest who gets into the most awful scrapes.
Very interesting.
However, if Gwendolyn accepts me, and I'm going to kill my brother. Indeed, I think I'll kill him in any case. Cecily's much too interested in him.
Ah, that must be Aunt Augusta. Only relatives or creditors ever knock in that Wagnerian manner. Say, if I get her out of the way long enough for you to propose to Gwendolyn, will you introduce me to Cecily?
Not for the world.
I'm coming. Aunt Augusta, Cousin Gwendolyn, come in.
Good afternoon, Algernon. I hope you're behaving very well.
I'm feeling very well, Aunt Augusta.
That's not quite the same thing. In fact, the two things rarely go together.
Mr. Worthing.
Your servant, Miss Gwendolyn.
Good afternoon, young man.
It's a pleasure to see you, Lady Bracknell.
Oh, before you sit down, Aunt Augusta, I have some wonderful prints to show you, just newly arrived from Paris. Do come. They're right in here in the next room.
Oh, delightful.
Don't ever say I wasn't a friend in need, Ernest. Right this way, Aunt Augusta.
Charming day it's been, Miss Fairfax.
Oh, pray don't talk to me about the weather, Mr. Worthing. Whenever people talk about the weather, I always feel quite certain that they mean something else. And that makes me nervous.
I do mean something else. Miss Fairfax, ever since I met you, I have admired you more than any other girl I have ever met since I met you.
Yes, I'm quite aware of that fact. I will be equally frank with you. My ideal has always been to love someone by the name of Ernest. There's something in that name that inspires absolute confidence. The moment Algernon first mentioned to me that he had a friend called Ernest, I knew I was destined to love you.
You really love me, Gwendolyn?
Passionately.
Darling, you don't know how happy you made me. But, just a minute. You don't really mean to say you couldn't love me if my name wasn't Ernest.
But your name is Ernest, and it suits you so perfectly. It's a divine name. It has a music of its own. It produces vibrations.
Yes, but suppose it was something else. Suppose it was Jack.
Jack? Oh, that's a horrible name. I could never really love anybody but an Ernest.
Oh, Gwendolyn, will you marry me?
Of course I will, darling. How long you've been about it.
My own one, I've never loved anyone in the world but you.
Mr. Worthing.
Yes?
Rise, sir, from this semi-recumbent posture. It is most indecent.
Mama, go back into the other room. Mr. Worthing is not quite finished.
Finished what, may I ask?
I am engaged to Mr. Worthing, Mama.
Good work, old boy.
Pardon me, you are not engaged to anyone. When you do become engaged to someone, I will inform you of the fact.
Oh, Mama, you spoil everything.
Since this matter has come up, however, I am not averse to seeing whether this young buck is eligible or not. Young man, I have always been of the opinion that a man who desires to get married should know either everything or nothing. Which do you know?
I know nothing, Lady Bracken.
I am pleased to hear it. I do not approve of anything that tampers with natural ignorance. Now to social position. Who are your parents?
I have lost both my parents.
Both? That seems like carelessness. Who was your father?
Well, I'm afraid I really don't know. You see, I was found.
Found?
The late Thomas Cardew found me and gave me the name of Worthing because he happened to have a first-class railway ticket for Worthing in his pocket at the time. Worthing is a place in Sussex, a seaside resort. Charming.
Where did this gentleman who had a first-class ticket for this seaside resort find you?
In a handbag.
A handbag?
Yes, Lady Bracknell. I was in a handbag. A somewhat large black leather handbag with handles on it. Quite an ordinary handbag, I'm sorry to say.
In what locality was this found?
In the cloakroom at Victoria Station. It was given to him in mistake for his own.
The cloakroom at Victoria Station?
Yes, the Brighton line.
The line is immaterial. But to be born, or at any rate bred in a handbag, whether it had handles or not, seems to me to display a contempt for the ordinary decencies of family life. You can hardly imagine that I would dream of allowing my only daughter, a girl brought up with the utmost care, to marry into a cloakroom and form an alliance with a parcel. Good afternoon, Mr. Worthing. Come, Gwendolyn.
Oh, Mama.
Come, come, come.
For goodness sakes, Elsie, don't play that ghastly tune.
As you say.
You don't think there's any chance of Gwendolyn becoming like her mother in about 150 years, do you, Elsie?
I forgot my parasol on purpose. Tell me quickly, what's your country address? I'll write you long, passionate letters every day.
You will? It's the Manor House, Woolton, Hertfordshire.
Yes. The Manor House, Woolton, Hertfordshire.
Oh, darling, I'll write you immediately. Goodbye, my darling.
Adieu, my precious. Oh, that's better. Better. What are you smiling about?
Me? Oh, I adore the way I play piano. As a matter of fact, I'm my favorite piano player.
Oh, Elsie, you never talk anything but nonsense.
Nobody ever does. Manor House, Woolton, Hertfordshire.
I don't know why Uncle Jack wants me to learn German. It isn't at all a becoming language. I look quite plain after my German lesson.
Your guardian is a fine, serious young man, and you mustn't worry him, Cecily. Lord knows he has enough trouble with that unfortunate young man, his brother.
I wish Uncle Jack would allow that unfortunate young man, his brother, to come down here to the country sometime. We might have a good influence over in Miss Prism. I'm sure you certainly would. You know German and geology and things of that kind influence a man very much. Oh, somebody's at the door. I love answering doors. It's much more fun than studying this horrid German.
Cecily, really.
Oh, I say, is this the home of Mr. Jack Worthing?
Oh, yes, but he's in London and won't return until Monday.
I am sorry. I'm his brother, Ernest Worthing.
Oh.
What's wrong?
Why, I've never met any really wicked person before. I feel rather frightened.
You are my little cousin Cecily.
Yes.
And one of the prettiest girls I've ever seen.
Oh, I don't think you should talk to me like that. Miss Prism never says such things to me.
Then Miss Prism is a short-sighted old lady. Shall we take a walk in the garden and get acquainted in a cousinly manner?
Yes. Yes, it would be simply divine.
Cecily? Cecily, child, who was that at the door? Oh, Cecily, where did you go?
Miss Prism.
Mr. Jack.
Miss Prism, would you be so good as to help me with these parcels?
Why, Mr. Jack, we didn't expect you back until month. Why, sir, whatever are you wearing black for? Oh, I trust these mourning clothes do not betoken some terrible calamity.
Yes, Miss Prism, my brother.
More shameful debts and extravagances.
My brother is dead.
Your brother, Ernest? Dead.
Dead.
Dead?
Quite dead.
What a lesson for him. I trust he will profit by it.
Where is Cecily? I must tell her about this sad, sad news. Cecily?
Uncle Jack! Oh, I am pleased to see you back. But what horrid black clothes you have on. Do go and change.
Cecily, my child, my child.
What's the matter, Uncle Jack? You look as if you had a toothache. And I have such a surprise for you. Who do you think is in the garden? Your brother, Ernest.
Nonsense, I haven't got a brother.
Don't be silly.
Wonder of wonders, he returned from the dead.
Ernest, come here immediately. Look who's home.
Brother Jack, my dear brother Jack.
Oh, for the love of heaven.
We're ready for Act 2 of Margaret Webster's favorite story, The Importance of Being Earnest. Algernon Moncrief and Uncle Jack Worthing find themselves face to face at the Manor House at Woolton in a delightful pickle concocted by Mr. Oscar Wilde. Curtain.
Mr.
Noonan, you scoundrel. Now that the ladies have gone up to dress, I can speak my mind. Get out.
Jack, old friend, I appreciate your gracious invitation, and I regret I can only stay a week.
A week? You're going back to town on the next train. I'll order the cart.
That's quite impossible, old man. You see, I'm quite madly in love with Cecily.
You're not to talk about my ward like that. I don't like it.
Well, I don't like your clothes. You look perfectly ridiculous in black. Why on earth don't you go up and change? It's so childish to be in mourning for a man who's staying for a whole week with you as your house guest. I call it grotesque.
You certainly are not staying with me for a week. You're leaving on the 4-5 train.
I certainly won't leave you as long as you're in mourning. It would be most unfriendly. If I were in mourning, you'd stay with me. I should think it very unkind if you didn't.
You're a fool. There's no use talking to you. I'm going for the cart.
Ernest!
Me?
Where's Uncle Jack?
He's gone to get the cart. He's sending me away.
Oh.
I'm afraid we must part, Cecily.
Oh, it is always painful to part from people one has known for a very brief space of time. The absence of old friends one can endure, even enjoy. But even a momentary separation from anyone to whom one has just been introduced is almost unbearable.
Cecily, it's necessary to speak quickly. From the moment I saw you, I knew. I love you. Will you marry me?
You silly you, of course. Why, we've been engaged for the last 3 months.
For the last 3 months? How did that happen?
Well, ever since dear Uncle Jack first confessed to us that he had a younger brother who was very wicked and very bad, I have been in love with you, Ernest.
Darling! And when was the engagement actually settled?
On the 4th of February last.
4th of February?
Worn out by your entire ignorance of my existence, I determined to end the matter one way or the other, and after a long struggle with myself, I accepted you.
Naturally.
The next day, I bought this little ring.
Did I give you this? It's very pretty, isn't it?
Yes, you've wonderfully good taste, Ernest. It's the excuse I always give for you leading such a bad life. And then there's the matter of your name.
Yes, of course.
It's always been a girlish dream of mine to love someone whose name was Ernest.
Ernest?
There's something in that name that seems to inspire absolute confidence. I pity any poor married woman whose husband is not called Ernest.
But, my dear child, you mean to say that you couldn't love me if I had some other name?
But what name?
Oh, any name you like. Algernon, for instance.
Oh, but I don't like the name of Algernon.
Algernon is a very good name. Aristocratic. Why, half the chaps who get into bankruptcy court are called Algernon. Seriously, Cecily, if my name was Algie, couldn't you love me?
I might respect you, Ernest. I might admire your character. But I fear that I should not be able to give you my undivided attention.
Oh, excuse me, Cecily. I want to confer with your local rector regarding a most important christening. I mean, on the most important business. I'll be back in no time.
Oh, what an impetuous boy. I must really... Oh, what a busy, busy day. The door again. Why, hello.
Good afternoon. Pray allow me to introduce myself. I'm Gwendolyn Fairfax.
Won't you come in, Miss Fairfax? I'm Cecily Cardew.
Cecily Cardew. What a sweet name. Something tells me we're going to be great friends. I like you already more than I can say. My first impressions of people are never wrong.
I feel exactly the same way about you, Gwendolyn.
I hope you do not think me rude for asking, dear friend. But are you here on a short visit?
Oh, dear, no. I live here. I am Mr. Worthing's ward.
Oh? Strange. He never mentioned you. No matter. Ernest is a soul of honor.
I beg your pardon, Gwendolyn. Did you say Ernest?
Yes.
Oh, but it's not Mr. Ernest Worthing who's my guardian. It's his brother, his elder brother, Jack.
Ernest never mentioned to me that he had a brother.
But I'm sorry to say they've not been on good terms.
Oh, that accounts for it.
Dearest Gwendolyn, since you are my new friend, I must tell you, Mr. Ernest Worthing is engaged to me.
My darling Cecily, I think there must be some slight error. Mr. Ernest Worthing is engaged to me.
But he proposed to me just 5 minutes ago.
Well, it's certainly very curious, for he offered me to be his wife yesterday afternoon at 5:30.
You trapped
him. You entangled him.
Why, from the moment I saw you, I distrusted you.
All I had to do was look at your face and know you were false and deceitful. My first impressions of people are invariably right.
What's going on in here? Well, Gwendolyn.
Ernest!
My own Ernest.
Darling.
Just a moment. May I ask if you were engaged to this young lady?
What? To dear little Cecily? Of course not.
I knew there must be some misunderstanding, Gwendolyn. This is my guardian, Uncle Jack.
Jack!
Here comes Ernest.
Good afternoon, everybody. Cecily, my angel.
Just a moment, Ernest. Are you engaged to this young lady?
To what young lady? Good heavens, Gwendolyn. Certainly not.
I felt there was some slight error, Cecily. The gentleman who is now embracing you is my cousin, Mr. Algernon Moncrief.
Algernon? Is that your name?
I'm afraid I can't deny it.
Oh, and is your name really Jack?
I have to admit, it's been Jack for years.
But where is Ernest?
Well, he doesn't exist.
No.
I just made him up.
Gwendolyn, a gross deception has been practiced on both of us. My poor wounded Cecily. My sweet wronged Gwendolyn. You may call me sister. Oh, this is dreadful.
Somebody's at the door.
We've had enough trouble today, all caused by answering the door.
One really must answer doorbells. It's only proper. I'll go.
You young scoundrel. Where is my daughter?
Oh, heavens, it's my mother.
Oh, there you are, Gwendolyn. You are to come home with me at once.
Yes, Mother. I am quite prepared to do that.
I was informed of your flight, young lady, by your maid, whose confidence I purchased by means of a small coin.
Oh, dear.
Thank heavens your father knows nothing of this. He is under the impression that you are attending a lecture at the university on the influence of permanent income on thought. I do not propose to deceive him. Algernon.
Good afternoon, Aunt Augusta.
What in the world are you doing here?
Why, I'm here because I happen to be in love with this beautiful girl.
Most indecent. And who is she? Alone here in a house full of men and unchaperoned, I'll wager?
Not at all, madam. I have the most proper companion. Dear Miss Prism.
Prism? Did you say Miss Prism?
Yes.
Is this Miss Prism a female of repellent aspect, remotely connected with education?
She is, madam.
I've been hunting for that woman for 28 years. Let her be sent for immediately.
Certainly. Miss Prism, would you come in here, please?
What's this all about?
We'll be hanged if I know.
You called Cecily?
Prism!
Oh, Lady Bracknell.
Prism? Look at me. Where is that baby?
Baby?
28 years ago, Prism, you left Lord Bracknell's house, number 104 Upper Grosvenor Street, in charge of a perambulator that contained a baby of the male sex. You never returned. Prism, where is that baby?
Lady Bracknell, I admit with shame I do not know. On the day that you mention, I took the baby out in its perambulator. I had also with me a somewhat old handbag.
Handbag?
In a moment of abstraction, I placed a book in the perambulator and the baby in the handbag.
Where did you leave the handbag?
I checked it momentarily in the cloakroom of the Victoria Station in London.
The Brighton Lion?
Yes. How did you know?
Miss Prism, pay very close attention. Here in this closet is something I want you to identify. Miss Prism, is this the handbag? Answer carefully. A great deal depends on it.
It seems to be mine. Yes, here is an injury received through the upsetting of a Gower Street omnibus in younger and happier days. And see here my initials. Oh, I'm delighted to have this bag restored to me.
Miss Prism, more is restored to you than this handbag. I was the baby you placed in it.
You?
Yes. Mother?
Mr. Worthy. I am a spinster, if you please. Lady Bracknell can tell you who you really are.
Lady Bracknell?
I'm afraid that the news I have to give you, young man, will not altogether please you.
Oh?
You are the son of my poor sister, Mrs. Moncrief, and consequently, Algernon's elder brother.
Mine?
Algy's elder brother? Then I have a brother after all. Everybody, meet my brother. Algy, you scoundrel, you never behaved like a brother to me in all your life.
I admit that, old boy. Not until today.
Aunt Augusta, tell me one thing quickly. Was I christened?
Of course. In the most lavish fashion.
What name was I given?
Let me think. Being the eldest son, you were naturally christened after your father.
What was my father's name?
I'm trying to think what the general's name was. It was a most revolting name. I recall I never liked it. Oh, I remember. Ernest.
Ernest!
Ernest! My own Ernest.
I felt from the first that you could have no other name.
Gwendolyn, it's a terrible thing for a man to find out suddenly that all his life he's been speaking nothing but the truth. Can you forgive me?
I can, for I feel that you are sure to change.
My darling.
My nephew, you seem to be displaying signs of triviality.
On the contrary, Aunt Augusta, I've now realized for the first time in my life the vital importance of being earnest.
Been listening to our radio impression of Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest. Our thanks to the members of the cast. Thomas Freeburn Smith, who played Algy, alias Ernest. Tom Collins as John Worthing, alias Ernest. And Lurene Tuttle and Janet Waldo as the two young ladies who liked earnest young men. And a bow in the direction of Miss Margaret Webster, who chose this Oscar Wilde comedy as this week's favorite story. Next week, one of the most famous spine chillers of all time, Robert Louis Stevenson's weird and remarkable tale called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was chosen for you by the world-famous motion picture director, that expert on thrills, Mr. Alfred Hitchcock. We hope you'll be listening.